Monster Lakes, a horrible geography book by Anita Gennari. Let's hope we get a quick bite, read by Vienna Vance. Illustrated by Mike Phillips. Introduction. Everyone knows geography can be horrible, so why on earth do geography teachers have to make it so much worse? Picture the scene. It's double geography, again, and you're getting your head down for a bit of a kick. Unfortunately, your teacher's got other terrible ideas. Next thing you know, you're standing on the shore of a dark, damp lake, and it's loathsome. You're up to your armpits in slimy mud, and your hair is dripping with bits of ladderweed. Yep, I'm sorry to say your teacher's dragged you out on another frightful field trip. How horrible is that? To make matters worse, your teacher's droning on depressingly, even though you can't understand a word she says. Today's lesson is all about elliptical sinusoids. Should you call a doctor? Don't worry. It's not a nasty disease you can catch if you get wet. It's just a posh way of talking about lakes with round bottoms. Luckily, not all geography is as deeply damp and dippy as this. Some bits are actually horribly fascinating. Yes, I know it's hard to believe. Take Monster Lakes, for example. Where you're going, you won't have time to worry about freezing field trips and soggy sarnies. The monster lakes in this book are among the biggest, highest, deepest, and most mind-boggling places on the planet. Earth-shattering or what? What's more, some of these loathsome lakes are so vast, murky, and mysterious, they're said to be home to real-life lake monsters lurking beneath the surface. But you'll need to be feeling brave if you want to drop in through our chat. And that's not all. From piddling ponds and paltry puddles to large-scale lakes the size of seas, lakes and their bulging bottoms lurk all over the world. In Monster Lakes, you can look for lakes in the top of volcanoes, visit an ancient underwater lake village, find out why some leaking lakes are shrinking. You're taking up the whole lake. Hunt for a lake monster with Blake, your Monster Lake guide. Never mind Blake, it's me you've all come to see. Who said that? Take no notice of what your teacher tells you. This is horrible geography like never before. It's awesome and out of this world. So why not take the plunge and dip into the first chapter? It's full of monster-sized facts about lakes that'll leave you shaking in your welly boots. But be warned, dabbling about in lakes can be dangerous. You never know when a miffed monster might decide to pop up and put a dampener on things. Rats. Monster Lake Bottoms. Close your eyes and think of a lake. Go on, don't do that. Apart from humpbacked monsters, what do you see? You're most probably thinking of a big patch of muddy water dotted with weedy plants and perhaps a dabbling duck or two. How barren is that? But there's much more to Monster Lakes than meets the eye. It's true, ask any horrible geographer. But brace yourself for a horribly long-winded answer. There's nothing ghastly geographers like better than the chance to show off their some lake know-how. Anyway, they'll tell you that, technically speaking, a lake is an inland accumulation of lentic water lying in a depression on the Earth's surface. Blah, blah, blah. Zzz. Don't say I didn't warn you. But what on earth is our excitable expert waffling on about? Don't worry if you don't understand a word. It's just a posh way of saying that a lake's a stretch of still water surrounded by land that collects in a dip in the ground. Phew. In fact, lake comes from an ancient Greek word that means hole or pond. But if you think that one lake looks much like another, you are wrong. Like geography teachers, lakes lurk all over the world and they're all horribly different. They range in size from paltry ponds the size of bathtubs to gigantic lakes the size of whole countries. To put you in the picture, here's a map of the world's top 10 monster lakes. Is it my turn now? No, not yet. 1. Caspian Sea. 2. Lake Superior. 3. Lake Victoria. 4. Lake Huron. 5. Lake Michigan. 6. Aral Sea. 7. Lake Tanganyika. 8. Lake Baikal. 9. Great Bear Lake. 10. Lake Nyasa. Teacher teaser. If you're a teacher keeping her head above water, put your hand up and ask her this simple-sounding question. Please, miss, is the Caspian Sea the largest lake in the world? Does your laked-out teacher tell you to go jump in a lake? Answer. The answer is yes and no. Strictly speaking, the Caspian Sea is the world's largest lake. So why on earth is it called a sea even though it's nowhere near the coast? Good question. It's because the colossal Caspian isn't filled with fresh water. It's salty like the sea. The largest freshwater lake is Lake Superior. Join this loathsome lake and you could cover the continents of North and South America in a knee-deep layer of water. Great news for goldfish, but depressingly damp for everyone else. In fact, Superior is so gigantic that the first Europeans who saw it thought it must be the sea. so it could have been called the Superior Sea. Confusing or what? Monster Lake Fact File. Name, Caspian Sea. Location, Central Asia. Size, 378,400 square kilometers. Maximum depth, 1,025 meters. Monster Facts. Two-thirds of the Caspian Sea's water supply comes from the Volga, the longest river in Europe. Most of the rest falls as rain. Until about 290 million years ago, the Caspian was part of the sunny Mediterranean Sea, but then shifts in the Earth's crust blocked the lake off. The lake's famous for caviar. That's the posh word for sturgeon fish eggs, which are eaten as a delicacy. If you fancy a mouthful, you'll need to start saving up. A teeny teaspoonful of Caspian caviar costs a whopping 50 pounds. One of the lake's local names is Gurkansk, which means country of the wolves. So that's your step if you hear howling. What on earth are lakes? So now you've got to know some monster lakes, but how on earth did they get there? If you can't face another brain-numbing answer from our ancient geographer, why not dip into Blake's Monster Lake Guidebook instead? It gets right to the bottom of how some of the main lake types were formed. I must get a mention here. Patience, my friend. We'll get to you soon. Name glacial lakes. What they look like, largest lakes, and the most common kind on Earth. Glacial lakes to check out. The Great Lakes, Canada/USA, Lake District, England, Lake Geneva, Switzerland, Hornindalsvatn, Norway. How they happen. They form in places which, millions of years ago, were covered by gigantic slices of ice called glaciers. As the ghastly glaciers slipped and slid, they dragged along tons of rock, which turned them into enormous icy scouring pads. These scraped away at the ground underneath, gouging out hundreds of lake-shaped hollows. Other lakes were left behind when glaciers dumped their rocky loads at their snouts and blocked off raging rivers. And before you turn your nose up, snout is the technical term for the end of a glacier where the ice starts to melt. Sometimes blocks of ice break off glaciers and get buried under the rocks the glaciers have dumped. Years later, when the glacier is long gone, these massive ice cubes melt, leaving loads of deep dips behind. The dips fill up with rain and melting snow to make lots of little lakes. Rebel geographers confusingly call them kettle lakes, except they don't look anything like the sort of kettle you plug in to make a cup of tea. Their name comes from old-fashioned kettles, which look like giant cooking pots. Potty. Name crater lakes. What they look like? Small, deep lakes with amazingly clear blue water. Crater lakes to check out? Crater Lake, Oregon, USA, Lake Nyos, Cameroon, Lake Toba, Sumatra. How they happen? They form when snow and rainfall fill the craters of steep-sided volcanoes. Volcanoes erupt when red-hot magma, that's liquid rock, spurts up through a crack in the Earth's crust. That's the Earth's rocky surface and not the crunchy bits you cut off your toast. If the magma bursts out with a bang, a violent volcano blows its top, leaving a colossal crater behind that can be tens of kilometers across. Volcano, eruption, crater, lake. Crater Lake lies inside the crumbling crater of Mount Mazama. If you fancy a peak, don't panic. This vile volcano last lost its cool about 7,700 years ago. But forget geography. Local legend says the eruption was caused by a battle between a brave warrior and a hot-tempered monster that smoldered away inside the mountain. Are you talking about me now? Nope, not yet. Earth-shattering fact. Some lakes lie inside monster craters miles away from any fire-breathing volcanoes. So how on earth did they get there? Amazingly, they were carved up on massive lumps of space rock called meteorites, which crashed into the Earth thousands of years ago. A smashing story. Name, Oxbow Lakes. What they look like? Small banana-shaped lakes. Oxbow Lakes to check out. There are lots along the Mississippi River in the USA and the Amazon River in Brazil. How they happen? They're made when raging rivers go round the bend. When a river flows over flat land, its flow slows along one bank and it dumps some of its load of sand and mud, but it flows faster along the other bank, wearing it away. This makes the river flow in a giant S-shaped curve called a meander. Sometimes the roving river cuts straight across the loop, leaving behind an oxbow lake. River cuts across, meander, river, oxbow lake. In case you're wondering what an oxbow is, it was a curved wooden collar worn by oxen. They're animals like very big cows, in olden times so they could pull a plow. Bet you wish you never asked. Name Rift Valley Lakes. What they look like? Long chains of narrow lakes. Rift Valley Lakes to check out. Lake Nyasa, Africa. Lake Tanganyika, Africa. Lake Turkana, Africa. Lake Victoria, Africa. Lake Baikal, Siberia. How they happen. Are you sitting comfortably? Here's a very moving story to fill you in on how you get Rift Valley Lakes. A very moving story. One man who knew more about Rift Valley lakes than most was top Scottish explorer, John Walter Gregory, 1864 to 1932. John put the Great Rift Valley in Africa well and truly on the map. You might well ask, what's so great about that? But geographically speaking, it was no mean feat. You see, this vast valley is actually a series of gigantic cracks running for 6,500 kilometers across Africa from the Red Sea to Mozambique. It's 200 kilometers wide in places, and the cracks began to show about 30 million years ago. I've cracked it! He's cracked up! So, although geographers had already seen it, even glamorous geographers couldn't miss something that bloomin' big, they didn't have a clue how on earth it had got there. Young John was born in Scotland, but went to live with his family in London. His dad was a well-off wool merchant and wanted John to follow in his footsteps, but John had other ideas. He preferred to spend his time rummaging through piles of rotten rocks or reading books about geography. Yes, I know, it's horribly hard to believe. In fact, John got the nickname Pockets because of his horribly hobby of stuffing his pockets with lumps of rock. Oops! Swatty John soon gave up the wool business to go off to London University, but he felt sheepish telling his dear old dad. Then he landed a top job at the Museum of Natural History, and it was here that he had his groundbreaking idea. He reckoned rift valleys were formed by massive earth movements. Trouble was, no one agreed with him. The man's a complete crackpot! At that time, most geographers blamed the wind and water for wearing rift valleys out. What John needed now was proof. The ground under your feet looks and feels rock solid. Go on, jump up and down on it. But it's actually cracked into enormous pieces called plates, a bit like a gigantic barrel that you've bashed with a gigantic spoon. And get this, the plates are constantly drifting on the layer of hot, gooey rock underneath. Don't worry, you won't get carried away. They're moving so slowly you won't notice a thing. Usually. In some places, the crazy paving plates push and shove against each other, squeezing and squashing the rocks in between. And this is what pushes mighty mountain peaks up and sends rift valleys plummeting down. Off to Africa. In 1892, John finally got to go to Africa to test out his crackpot theory. He set off in high spirits on an expedition across Somalia. But the journey was dreadful, and John ended up falling desperately ill with a near-fatal attack of malaria. That's a deadly disease spread by mosquitoes. Even the shaky start didn't put John off, though, and the following year he was back again, stopping only to hire some local guys and buy food, a sack of veggies and a small flock of sheep. Eager John set off, and this time he made some truly earth-shattering discoveries. Here's how he might have reported his finds in his postcards to his boss back home. I'm looking for the nearest postbox. Lake Baringo, Great Rift Valley, Africa, 1893. Dear boss, well, we finally made it, but what a journey it's been. On the way, we were attacked by unfriendly locals, and our donkeys went and bolted, so we lost loads of supplies. And one night, I set off to explore the countryside and got horribly lost. Silly me. Best wishes, Pockets. Lake Baringo, a bit later. Dear boss, luckily, there weren't any peckish lions around. To make matters worse, we ran out of water, apart from some muddy drops we found in a rhino's footprints. Don't worry, the rhino had scarpered. And when we finally reached a river, we had to fight off the crocodiles. Anyway, mustn't grumble. The lake's lovely and the view's breathtaking. See you soon, Pockets. Lake Baringo, a bit later. Dear boss, it's so exciting to be here at last. We pitched our tent, then headed straight to the lake to recce the rocks around the shore. I'm sure the way the rock layers are arranged will prove how the valley's slumped. Guess what? I was right all along. But you'll need to use your imagination for this next bit. The countryside around here is like a giant chunk of cake with layers of yummy sponge, cream, and jam. More to follow. All the best, Pockets. Lake Baringo, a bit later. Dear boss, are you with me so far about the giant chunk of cake? If you cut the chunk into three smaller slices and try to pick it up, the middle bit will slip down. Yes, I know it makes a mess, and that's almost how a rift valley forms. Only here the layers are made of rock. The drifting plates of the Earth's crust shifts at faults, giant cracks in the crust. This causes the slab of rock in between to sink, leaving a vast, steep-sided valley behind. A perfect place for lakes. Best wishes, Pockets. Lake Baringo, a bit later. Dear boss, I've scribbled down a handy diagram for you to chew over. Go on, it's a piece of cake. Countryside, fault lines, layers of rock sinks down. Right, I'm off for lunch. All this talk of cake is making me hungry. See you soon, Pockets. The two sides of the Great Rift Valley in Africa are still drifting. Experts think it'll eventually crack up completely and split Africa in two, but not for another 10 million years. Then the loathsome lakes that lie in the bottom will become an odious ocean. Back home, John wrote two books and hundreds of serious scientific papers about his adventures and became professor of geology at Glasgow University. He even had a bit of the Great Rift Valley named after him. But his story had a very sad ending, so I hope you've got a hanky handy. In 1932, he went to Peru in South America to do some of their exploring and was killed when his canoe capsized. How unlucky was that? But having pockets full of rocks probably meant it was easier to sink than swim. All very fascinating, but is it my turn now? No, not yet. Herbal health burning. If you're looking for a lake to lurk by, you might want to give Lake Vostok in Antarctica a miss. For a start, this faraway lake lies under 4 kilometers of ice, so you need a satellite out in space to spot it. From satellite photos already snapped, scientists have sussed out that vast Lake Vostok's almost as big as Lake Ontario, one of the Great Lakes, and it's at least 500,000 years old. Excited scientists reckon there are bacteria living in the lake that have never been seen before. They still don't know how these deep-freeze bacteria can survive in the ice-cold water, but they're hoping to get to the bottom of things by drilling a hole through the ice and sending a roving robot down. Congratulations! You've survived your icy lake visit without even getting your feet wet. If you're not careful, you'll be calling yourself a limnologist soon. Don't worry, it's got nothing to do with arms and legs. A limnologist is a herbal scientist who studies swamps and lakes. The word was coined by a Swiss swamp scientist who made the first in-depth study of lakes in 1892. He started his study with loathsome lake water, and luckily that's what the next chapter is all about. Time to take the plunge. Still waters. Ask your teacher what feature all lakes share, and she'll probably try to boggle your mind with lots of baffling, lacustrine facts. No, sorry, she started already. Lacustrine simply means anything to do with lakes. No wonder you've got that sinking feeling, but you can ignore everything she says. Oh, so you do that already? The simple truth is that all lakes are full of water. Okay, so you don't need to be a genius geographer to work that out. Some lakes are filled with fresh water, and some are salty like the sea. But compared to the amount of water in the salty sea, lakes are just a drop in the ocean. Earth-shattering fact. Everyone knows that counting sheep is supposed to send you off to sleep. But if you fancy a bit of shut-eye, why not try counting monster lakes instead? So far, herbal geographers have notched up over 1 million, so it's no wonder they're always nodding off. Sorry, where was I? Even though they get everywhere, lakes contain less than 0.017% of the Earth's water supply. Most of the rest, about 97%, is salty and lies in the oceans and seas. The rest is fresh, but it's frozen solid in glaciers and ice caps, where our flows and rivers are underground. 0.017% sounds like a minuscule amount, doesn't it? But get this, it's still enough wonderful water to fill 74 billion, a billion's a thousand million, Olympic-sized swimming pools. Talk about making a splash. A watery end. But where on earth did all this water come from? And how did it end up slopping about in lakes? Here's a monster-sized fact for you to impress your friends with. The water lapping in lakes today has sloshed millions and millions of times before. It's recycled again and again in the water cycle. So the water in the gigantic Great Lakes may once have been a dippy dinosaur's paddling pool. Pretty amazing, eh? But if the only sort of cycle you know is the one you pedal to the shops, don't worry. Who better to help you get a grip on things than Blake's very own Uncle Pete, the plumber? He's been fitting water systems like this for years, and he's brought a horribly useful diagram along. Morning, folks. Pete the plumber here. I hear you're having a spot of bother with your water cycle. I don't want to put a spanner in the waterworks, but it's a tricky bit of kit to install. Get some of this perishing pipe work wrong, and you could end up in very deep water indeed. Never mind. Stick with me, and we'll soon have it going again. 1. First, you need to make sure your sun's shining in the right place so it heats the water up. Over the oceans is spot on. 2. When it's nice and warm, some of your water will turn into water vapor. Technically speaking, we plumbers call this evaporation. 3. Your warmed-up water vapor should rise into the air. You'll have to take my word for this. Water vapor is invisible. As it rises, it'll cool down and turn back into droplets of liquid water called condensation in the trade. Shout if I'm going too fast. 4. Next, you want to get your water droplets to gang together to make a cloud. Don't skip on your droplets, mind. You'll need millions of these beauties to make this bit work properly. 5. Inside the cloud, you want your droplets to bash into one another. Then they'll make drops that are too heavy to hang around and they'll eventually fall as rain. Don't worry, your clouds haven't sprung a leak so you can put your spanner away. 6. If your clouds are working properly, some of the rain will fall back into the sea or soak into the ground. But you should have plenty left to keep your lake nice and full. It might splash straight into your lake or into a river that'll pipe it into your lake. Pete's top tip. Look after your water cycle and you get years of wear out of it. The great thing is that once you get it up and running, it keeps working over and over again, without you having to do a thing. This model's still going strong and it's been working for millions of years. Right, I'm off to fix some baddie old boiler that's on the blink again. Who are you calling an old boiler? The ins and outs of leaky lake water. The ins. 1. Herbal geographers now know that water gets into lakes in different ways. Some rain and snow fall straight into lakes from clouds. Yep, it's really as simple as that. This can be massive amounts of water for lakes like vast Lake Victoria in Africa. It gets 2/3 of its total water supply from rain. That's billions and billions of buckets full. 2. Some water leaks into lakes from melting snow and glaciers high up on mountainsides. The Great Lakes in North America get almost half their water like this. See page 97 for more Great Lake facts. And there's a handy knock-on effect, because the water flows from Lake Superior to fill up Lake Michigan and Lake Huron. There are actually 5 Great Lakes, but they're also all joined up. But if the year's snowfall is on the low side, lake water levels fall alarmingly. This is very alarming. Lake. 3. Gallons of water gushes up into lakes from underground. This is called groundwater, and it happens when rain soaks through the rocks and soil. We're not talking little drips either. There's nearly 30 times as much water rushing away under your feet as there is in all of the world's rivers and lakes. That's seriously soggy stuff. Luckily, lakes don't only depend on groundwater to fill them up. If they did, they'd be in for a horribly long wait. Sluggish groundwater flows so slowly it can take thousands of years to surface again. Who took your time? 4. For years, horrible geographers didn't know that groundwater could seep straight up through a lake bed. It was just a wild guess. But in 1974, some curious Canadian scientists decided to get to the bottom of things. Here's what they did. They injected the ground around Perch Lake in Canada with salty water. Later, they tested the water lying on the lake bed. What do you think they found? A. The lake water was no saltier than before. B. The lake water was much saltier. C. The lake water turned moldy and green. Answer B. The salty solution had soaked through the rocks and seeped into the lake water. So you could say the scientists' needle-sharp experiment had proved their point. 5. Where do many raging rivers end up? In monster lakes, that's where. Rivers pour running water into lakes all over the world. In fact, some lakes have not just one, but hundreds of rivers, keeping them nice and wet. Rivers rush awesome amounts of water into Lake Tanganyika in Africa. And get this, if the rivers cut off their water supply, the lake would take a staggering 1,200 years to dry up because it's so blooming big.